This leads to comparing, to envy, discouragement. Have you ever heard or said, God never seems to answer my prayers, or the prayers I pray for myself? What's the point of praying? This perspective further leads to number 5, informing, instructing God, and ultimately trying to change God. I accuse God of acting unjustly. Lord, you know that person doesn't deserve to get cancer or MS. They've served you sacrificially all their life. Or, don't you know that family with 5 children needs a mother? Why did you take her? Now, note the attitude and not the legitimate questioning, which is a process of getting to know God, actually. I judge God as a harsh taskmaster who needs to become more like me, someone who really cares about people. I beg and fast and pray, get desperate, try to negotiate. Lord, if you heal my mother or my spouse, my child, my friend, I'll serve you wherever you want. Now, while issues of suffering and injustice and how they interact with God's sovereignty are really important and certainly worth grappling with, and I have many times grappled with God over some of these issues, but if I stay in this view of prayer, my world still looks overcast, heavy, gray. I may begin there, and you'll notice that a lot of the Psalms and the prophets, they start there. But at some point, I believe God wants me to rise above and connect with him on a higher, more eternal plane. As Job discovered at the end of his book, declaring, I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. Job had a perspective reversal. Okay, let's look at the other perspective, a different way of seeing prayer. Quote 2. I need the quote first. You can leave 1 and 2 up. Yeah. Yancey writes, though I often worry about whether or not I sense the presence of God, I give little thought to whether God senses the presence of me. Does he have my undivided attention? Quoting Abraham Joshua Heschel, he continues, we cannot make God visible to us, but we can make ourselves visible to him. So in perspective B, I'm with God looking down. The focus is on God. God wants my attention. He waits for me.
Sorry.
Perspective B.
Yes.
Sorry. You know, we can get rid of perspective A now. We're not using
okay.
it.
Sure you don't
want
to come back to it later?
No. Thanks. Okay, where was we? Okay, yes. The focus is on God. It's a different way of seeing. I come to God and he wants my attention. In fact, he wants me with him. I love the prayer, I think Norma said, that scripture. We draw near to God. He draws near to us. The focus is different. And so I start with God in my thoughts. I review his character and his deeds from the past. And then I show up regularly. Just show up. I make myself available to see and hear God when he chooses to reveal himself. Quote 3. He's a reader. I should have picked somebody who wasn't a reader. Quote 3. Fundamentally, prayer is a placement of oneself. As a focus, it is a habit of attention brought to bear on all that is. I love that. A habit of attention. I've been practicing that habit over the last number of years. If I start with the mind and will of God, states Yancey, viewing the rest of my life from that point of view, other details fall into place, or at least fall into a different place. There's helpful instruction by Yancey. He says, much of the benefit of prayer comes as a result of consistency, the simple act of showing up. I keep on, whether it feels like I'm profiting or not. I think there's a misconception that each time we take time out to spend with God, that it somehow leads to some great revelation or encounter. Not so. Not biblically. Not in any seasoned believer's life. It's a childish view. We just show up. Much of what happens during times with God is inward. We're unaware. But it's good to be in his presence, and it prepares us to hear and act when God does speak. As David mentioned last week, it builds relationship. It builds a friendship. It's not I come with my list and I expect answers. No, I just show up. God chooses how he meets with me. It's wonderful. Wonderfully freeing, really. It's being versus doing. Several years ago, I asked God to change my view because I was feeling like I was taking all the initiative. I wanted prayer to be more mutual. So I decided to read through the Bible, noting all the prayers, all the back and forth between God and man. To my surprise, I discovered that God always takes the initiative to create, to speak, to call, to anoint, to correct, to instruct, to judge, to guide. And that man's part, or my part, was to listen and respond. Throughout Scripture, whether with Abraham, Moses, Samuel, David, Isaiah, Daniel, other prophets, the disciples, or Jesus himself, the key response to God's initiative was, "Here I am," to listen and obey. I realized I needed a perspective reversal. B2. From this up-looking down perspective, I realize that God desires to speak and has the right to choose how and when. Sometimes I've discovered God speaks loudly through creation, through his word, sometimes in a whisper. Through the Spirit, through a nudge, through a person, or sometimes in silence. I never used to think silence was God speaking. Paradoxically, it is. I'll touch on it later. The question is not, is God hearing me, but am I listening? Am I coming with an open heart and an open face? And just being, just listening. Now, the journey to this place of listening, I've discovered, often includes bringing my own concerns and cares and questions and complaints before God the Father. He invites us to cast our cares on him. But if I come with an attitude of wanting to listen and grow up, then my prayers move upward to join him, and ultimately I see things from his perspective. Personally, I find, as David did in the Psalms, that writing or journaling my thoughts often frees me to hear God more clearly or to check my attitude. Sometimes I sing my prayers. Oh, gracious Father, I come to you. Oh, speak to my heart the words of life. I will obey your voice. Speak, Holy Spirit, I listen. Come, reassure me now with your love. Quote 4. Yancey notes, prayer helps correct myopia, which is nearsightedness, calling to mind a perspective I daily forget. I keep reversing roles, thinking of ways in which God should serve me rather than vice versa. B3. Okay. From the reverse perspective, I learned to pray according to Scripture. This has probably been the most exciting aspect of discovery for me. I knew there was prayers in Scripture, but I just never applied them, or I don't know. I just read them. Such praying raises my sights beyond what Yancey calls the petty or dire circumstances of life. I learn to wait. Delayed gratification is a sign of growing up or maturity in our prayers. I was remembering that David Bornman shared last Sunday that he'd asked God for a clear word, and 22 days later, God spoke. Made me think how often I must miss God because I haven't learned to wait that long. I just assume he's not interested or he's not talking to me. And then, of course, we look to Jesus as our model. Example. So instead of give me a good day kind of praying, I'm learning to pray, Lord, how can I give you a good day? With my faith, my praise, a listening heart. Please grant my sick friend hope, perseverance, courage to seek you in the midst of affliction. Thank you for your promise to provide what I need, open my eyes to see opportunities and guide me. Help me in my studies to seek Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of knowledge and understanding, for those students out there. Teach me to endure hardship and pain and to trust you in it. Open my eyes to see you among the lost, even while I'm running through the parking lot in the rain. Actually happened to me one day. I saw something I wouldn't have seen if I'd found a parking spot close to the door. Father God, you promised peace on earth. How you long for peace in men's hearts. Show me the brother, sister, or neighbor I am to forgive and make peace with. In his book, Jesus Yesterday, Today, and Forever, Bruce Marciano demonstrates how Jesus perfected the art of waiting. And he shares the experience of Jesus in the wilderness, his 40 days of testing. And this chapter is called Wait, My Son. This is what I have for you today. I'll just read a short excerpt. Sorry. 40 days. It must have felt like 40 years. The pinnacle of his Holy Spirit baptism visitation. The laughter of distant family and friends, both ringing afresh in his heart. And suddenly there he is, alone. No food. No water, no shelter, alone. The same perfect will that spilled such glory upon him yesterday now spills him into the center of hell on earth today. Cold, wind, sweat, and time. Time to think, time to reflect, time to long for the sweet warmth of his Nazareth yesterday, and tremble at the ordained horror of his Golgotha tomorrow. Time to hunger, time to thirst, time to shake against a frigid night and faint under the furnace day, time to collapse at his Father's feet and cry out for something, anything, to eat, to drink, to shield, to protect, to give him the strength to make it through the next day, no, the next hour, the next 5 minutes. But the Father says, wait, my son, this is what I have for you today. And so against the scream of his every bodily cell and every human desire, he waits. He curls up at his Father's feet. He cries out for his Father's strength. And he waits. B4. From this perspective, I focus on getting to know God. It was David Borman's emphasis last week that we're not praying, we're not seeking God for answers necessarily. We're just wanting to get to know him. I increasingly get more accurate judgment of God's character based on how he reveals himself. Quote 5. Yancey refers to the wrong direction or focus of prayer as starting downstream with my own concerns, informing God as if he did not already know, pleading as if hoping to change God's mind and overcome divine reluctance. Instead, he says we should start upstream where the flow begins. When I shift direction, I realize God already cares about my concerns, my uncle's cancer, world peace, a broken family, a rebellious teenager. From this changed direction, I no longer focus on answered prayers. Rather, I believe that God hears any prayer that is prayed from an open heart. And his answer may come in the form of yes, no, wait, or the gift of silence. To send my roots down deep to streams of living water, which will sustain me no matter what comes. I am learning to appreciate God's silence. Now, I have found, like many of you, I'm sure, that praying the prayers of the Bible is the best way to get the direction of prayer right. Several years ago, I read through the entire Bible, noting about 30 different prayers. I have them on a list. And each day I read one, and then I pray it, applying it to different situations. Each month I get to read and pray each prayer again. This has transformed how I pray for people. Scripture addresses everything common to man, and what a boost to my faith that when I pray knowing it's what God wants, the kind of prayers that God really hears, I find my faith just naturally rises and I'm up with God looking down. The prayers, list of prayers. Yancey had the list and I had my own, so I kind of joined them together a bit. Some of them overlapped. And I have a number of handouts if anybody's interested at some point in your study. You could go through them. But I just want to go through, no, that's page 2. Could we start with page 1? One usually comes before two. Okay. So I just thought we could just go through and see what some of the prayers entail. The first one that's mentioned is a plea for God's mercy in a situation of judgment against wickedness. Then there's praise for deliverance. There's intercession. There's just meeting with God and getting to know his character. There's responding to God's promises. There's dedication. There's praise and honor. There's prayer for victory. There's intercessory prayer and confession. Reviewing God's work in history. Hearing God respond to a tough situation of suffering. Repenting. Then all the Psalms, of course, are private and corporate prayers. They're great for praying. I didn't mention those because there's too many. Page 2. There again, reviewing God's promises, affliction yet hope in God, praising God for wisdom and power, praying for the salvation of a city, calling on God in distress, requesting for God to renew his miracles today. Then the Lord's Prayer, of course, which is a model for us. Jesus prays for unity. God's call to Paul, praising God as Gentiles. Thanksgiving and prayer for believers. Prayer for those in authority. Prayer for healing and forgiveness. A call for the nations to worship. Rejoicing. And then a prophetic call of the Spirit and the bride saying, come. I just want to point up to John 17. Just up on that page there. Yeah, Jesus' prayer for unity. It's an amazing prayer of Jesus at the end of his life. He certainly got the direction and the perspective of praying right. In 26 verses of that chapter, 56 references to God, to your, and to yours. Wow. I find that every time I read it and study it, I am instructed further in prayer. A wonderful, wonderful prayer. Q6, quote. Yancey agrees, from Paul's prayers, I learned to dethrone myself first by considering a cosmic point of view, which gets my own life off center stage. Then I can look at my friends, my family, and my life, the church, indeed all history, from that vantage. By praying scripture, Yancey continues, I learn that I am not the only one who has wrestled with God or has endured a time of wilderness and testing. I also learn to adore God, something that does not come naturally. Prayers based on the Bible help me recognize God's voice. Okay, perspective B5. From this reverse perspective, I do the changing. I grow up, I learn how to submit, and I partner with God. The focus is on becoming the person I should be versus getting what I want. I learn how to partner with God to bring his kingdom on earth. Augustine said, a person prays that he himself may be constructed, rebuilt, not that God may be instructed. Quote 7. Okay. Yancey speaks about discipline in prayer, which I found really helpful. He says, for years I resisted a regular routine of prayer, believing that communication with God should be spontaneous. As a result, I prayed infrequently and with little satisfaction. Eventually, I learned that spontaneity often flows from discipline. The Gospels show us Jesus as our model in this regard as well. He frequently went off by himself to pray. Prayer for Jesus, writes Yancey, provided a refreshing reminder of cosmic reality, the view from above. If he did it, I venture a guess that I need it. Yancey raises an interesting point that he learns as much from the prayers that Jesus did not pray as from those he did. For example, when John the Baptist, his cousin, was in prison facing certain execution, Jesus did not pray for his release. Just as he did not pray for Satan to stay away from Peter, nor that Judas would change his mind. Interesting. In his book, Yancey has an interesting section on moving through stages of prayer, which don't necessarily follow one after the other, but all three stages he encourages to be part of our praying, our prayer life. Stage one is responding in childlike faith to God as Father. The second stage involves meditation or keeping company with God. I love that. Keeping company with God. Spending time getting to know God, which helps align our desires with his and transforms our requests. A third stage of prayer Yancey calls a stage of submission, which often follows a long night of struggle. In the end, states Yancey, I learn that God has ordained prayer as a means of getting God's will done on earth, not ours. Yes, God hears and responds to my requests. Yes, God somehow incorporates those requests into a plan of action on earth. But as many martyrs have learned, including God's own son, as well as Christians in the persecuted church today, we do not always get what we earnestly desire. Finally, in this reverse perspective, I learn how to flesh out the Lord's Prayer, Your Kingdom Come. Becoming more aware of Jesus as my intercessor and the Spirit's role in interceding through us is beginning to transform how I pray for people. I used to think I wasn't really an intercessor because I didn't believe I was called to it. And I didn't really understand how to do it, actually. But this new perspective has opened up a whole new exciting way of praying in an intercessory way. I simply ask Jesus what he is praying for others, or sometimes even for myself. That gets a little trickier to hear. When I sense a direction, like a thought or a scripture, then I just join him with the help of the Spirit. I'm often surprised at his leading, but it's always brighter, has more hope and faith in it. It's always based on scripture and on accurate representation of God's character. And it always causes my faith to rise, knowing I'm praying according to God's will. So just a quick summary of the two perspectives. Perspective A, I focus on me. I do the talking to God. I focus on answered and unanswered prayer. Get discouraged when God isn't answering. I tend to inform God and hope to somehow change him. Flip. I focus on God. I join him. I realize that he speaks. He chooses how and when. He wants me with him. Emmanuel is God with us. I never saw it in this kind of way. God wants me with him up here, just to be. I learn to pray scripture. I focus on getting to know God. I change. I grow up in my faith. And then I learn how to partner with God's kingdom to bring it down here. In closing, as we in this fellowship set aside time to seek God in the coming weeks, may we also be encouraged to flip our focus, to persevere in setting aside regular closet time, just being with him, and thus getting to know his heart and his mind and his will. Can you imagine the result if we all individually sought God privately in this way and then came together to pray corporately? Wow, things could change. We could truly become who we were meant to be, and then could in reality partner with God to change the world. May God help us. Colossians 1. I pray for you that God will fill you with the knowledge of his will, through wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, by bearing fruit in every good work, by growing in the knowledge of God, by being strengthened according to his might, that you may have great endurance and patience. I give joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his people in his kingdom. Amen.